This is CBS News Bay Area with Juliet Goodrich.
Good evening. We are in First Alert weather coverage. The Bay Area in the midst of an uncomfortable and dangerous heat wave with temps in the triple digits inland. So pools and beaches were very busy today with people looking for some relief, and get used to it. The heat is expected to stick around even longer. And parts of the Bay Area right now are under a red flag warning, which means fire danger is high. In fact, firefighters in San Francisco, they just put out a grass fire, jumped Highway 101, and then it burns very close to some homes. Fortunately, they were spared. And then we're also following a fire that has really exploded in Butte County. This is the Thompson Fire. It scorched more than 2,000 acres. It is threatening parts of Oroville. Now, it started around 11 this morning and was only a couple hundred acres just a few hours ago, but it has since spread to more populated areas. CAL FIRE has air and ground crews on site, and reinforcements are on the way. So as many as 2,000 people are under a mandatory evacuation order. The Oroville Church on Monta Vista Avenue has opened as an evacuation shelter. Officials are urging people who live in the area to check CAL FIRE's website for the most updated evacuation orders. And some of our Bay Area crews are heading to the fire lines. Our chopper saw members of the San Francisco Fire Department gearing up to respond to an urgent call for help with the Thompson Fire. 26 San Francisco firefighters are heading to Oroville and could stay as long as 2 weeks. So let's bring in Chief Meteorologist Paul Hagan. So we've been talking about the heat and then bring on the fire danger for a while. It's a lot.
Yeah, so we're going to start with the Thompson Fire. This is a live view right now from the Alert California Wildfire Camera Network, looking from the southeast to the northwest towards the Thompson Fire that is burning into eastern parts of Oroville, being driven along by winds that are gusting up close to 20 miles an hour. The problem is those winds are just going to get stronger as we head through the rest of tonight. So current conditions around the fire, it's hot. It's another place where the fire crews have to battle the heat in addition to the low humidity and dry fire fuels and the fire itself. The humidity is only 15%. Those winds from the northwest driving that fire into the eastern sections of Oroville itself, and those winds are expected to accelerate as we head through the overnight hours. Again, the fire is already over 2,000 acres. Around the Bay Area, we continue under a red flag warning, which has now been extended through the 4th of July night. Technically expires now at 5 a.m. on Friday for all the higher elevation spots around the Bay Area, the North Bay Mountains, the East Bay Hills, and the Santa Cruz Mountains. And this is going to be a threat for the next several days as the heat continues. Had a couple of record-setting high temperatures, a record-setting high in Santa Rosa at 106, a record-tying high of 102 degrees in San Jose, made up to 107 for the hot spot across the Bay Area in Concord. Tomorrow's temperatures likely going to be just as hot. We still have excessive heat warnings and heat advisories around almost all of the Bay Area except the immediate coastline, and these have been extended through next Tuesday. Now, the heat is going to back off early next week, so there's some optimism that maybe those will be canceled a couple days early, but be prepared for a long stretch of hot weather, the hottest of which will occur tomorrow when the hottest spots inland could top 110 degrees. But it'll be in the 80s and 90s around the Bay as well. Full details on the weekend forecast, all those hot details coming up in just a few minutes.
Yeah, Paul, thank you for checking all that for us. So an update now on a fire burning closer to home. All evacuation orders have been downgraded to warnings for the Toll Fire in Napa County. CAL FIRE brought in 7 planes and 3 helicopters to stop the fire from spreading into Calistoga. So the fire is near the base of Mount St. Helena East off of Highway 29. CAL FIRE says no buildings were burned. At one point, more than 100 people had to be evacuated. Crews kept the fire to about 40 acres. They're going to stay out all night working on control lines and then mopping up. So meantime, PG&E says thousands of people are without power in the East Bay. It is the largest outage. It stretches from Dublin all the way up 680 through Danville. So take a look. Here is the map of outages. There are also large outages in Pleasant Hill and Walnut Creek. So PG&E says all of these are related to the heat. This is in the top of the utility's planned power shutoffs to prevent fires. PG&E cut power to about 2,000 customers in Northern California, and there could be more shutoffs tomorrow. We'll certainly keep on top of that. Meanwhile, all across the Bay Area, people were trying to figure out how to beat the heat. Let us know. So some at the farmers market in Concord were there. They were wearing hats, tank tops, good for them, even umbrellas to kind of shade. People tried to shield themselves from the beating sun. They were trying to get their errands done before they, I guess, had to get home and hopefully had AC.
Stay hydrated. You'll be all right. Stay out. And you see my hat. I had to come get my fruit early, and I'm going indoors.
I'd rather be home under my air condition, under the fan, but I got to go to work. I got to go to a meeting today. I got to be there by 12, and it's hot like a firecracker, Mama.
I like her. We need to hear more of her. If you were able to get away from the office, boy, you were lucky. The coast was also a great place to cool off. Pacifica was around 30 degrees cooler than the inland areas. Surfers and beachgoers certainly took advantage. And in El Cerrito, people lined up just to get into the area's only outdoor public pool. Workers tell us it's been hitting capacity earlier on these hot days. And once inside, there was a lap swim and a splash park where little ones got to just run through those sprinklers to cool down. And San Francisco Rec and Park announced that all 9 of its pools will be open tomorrow, and it will be free. So certainly stay with us for continuing coverage of this heat. We have a list of cooling centers open on our website at kpix.com. All right, on to some other news today. We're learning more about the elderly woman who was coming home from work when police say she was pushed in front of a BART train and killed. It happened last night at the Powell Street Station. She lived in San Mateo County, and her family tells us she worked as an operator for hotels in San Francisco, including the Westin St. Francis. Kevin Koh is at the Powell Street Station with some new information.
We got in touch with the 74-year-old woman's nephew, who tells us that she regularly took the BART from Daly City, where she dropped off her car. Then she would take the BART right here to the Powell Street Station. That appears to be exactly what she did yesterday before she was tragically pushed and killed.
She used to give us vegetables and all that kind of stuff. She was a very nice lady. I talked to her. She used to wait to me all the time and stuff.
Robert Waite didn't know Corazon Dandan well, as many other neighbors told us today. They all say she was a quiet, giving, hardworking woman.
So much violence now in the world.
Neighbors and records confirm this was her car with the Philippine flag and symbols on it, which we found parked at the Daly City BART parking garage. BART police tell us Dandan was pushed into an incoming train just after 11 p.m. last night at the Powell Street Station. Chief Kevin Franklin says witnesses pointed out the suspect who was nearby, 49-year-old Trevor Belmont, who is currently booked in county jail. Court records show Belmont has a lengthy criminal history. Since 2013, Belmont has been involved in nearly 24 criminal cases in San Francisco, as well as several misdemeanors in Alameda County.
We're working very hard to make BART the safest way to travel around the Bay Area. We've increased the presence of our uniformed personnel out and about in the system. This is the first homicide of the year, and I just want to stress that this is an extremely unusual incident. I can't recall another incident where somebody was pushed into a train like this.
Chief Franklin also says his department currently has 24 vacancies for police officers and 4 for dispatchers. Some riders tell us they're shocked to hear about what happened and want to see more police presence at BART stations. Others tell us they only ride BART during certain hours.
Oh, my God, dude. Wait a minute. Last night?
Why the BART policemen down there? Where are they?
We're not really from here, so we've been using it for the time we've been here, and we felt pretty safe. We don't use it late at night. We stop using it around 6 p.m.
Meanwhile, Dandan's neighbors are remembering her as a kind person who was tragically taken away.
She was very friendly. I talked to her all the time. She used to come up the house. Nobody cares about anybody, and it's kind of sad how the world is now.
Dandan's nephew also tells us that family members would constantly tell her it was too dangerous to take the BART, but it was her regular route, so she kept taking it. He also says she was an incredible and independent person who moved to the U.S. from the Philippines as a single woman.
San Francisco's district attorney has announced charges against the driver in the March crash that killed a family of 4 at a West Portal bus stop. Investigators say 78-year-old Mary Fong Lau was not impaired, nor was her vehicle malfunctioning when she hit the parents and their 2 young children who were waiting for a bus to go to the zoo. Lau faces 4 counts of felony vehicular manslaughter.